Johnny Ellis, and you're listening to the ShotSpeed.com radio.
This is Devlin Smith. If you're thirsty for traditional country music, find your water. See ya.
All right, we're back here at the TurnUpSpeed.com radio show, and, well, here in a few moments, we're going to be joined by Mr. Johnny Rebel, who's going to be conducting a phone interview with us.
Sure you agree with me here, Johnny. We're pretty excited all here at TurnUpSpeed to get a chance to talk to Johnny Rebel and his manager and see about this new album he will be releasing.
That's right, we're very much looking forward to it. What I want to do before Johnny gives us a call, we got a few minutes here, I want to roll in an old classic Johnny Rebel song. That'll be a good segue. So, Devlin, why don't you pick the old song and we'll roll into it.
Well, Johnny, that is a tough choice there, seeing that all those songs in his old CD were a good one. I'll tell you what, my favorite would have to be Nigger Hatin' Me. How about it, Johnny?
All right, here we go. Nigger Hatin' Me.
Eating sloth in a big black spooky. I show it like a barnyard dry poet and the end of a lazy paint. Would sure like to get a hold of nigger hating me. Roses are red and violets are blue and niggers are black. You know that's true. But they don't mind, oh, what the heck. You gotta be black to get a welfare check and I'm broke. No joke. I ain't got a nickel for a coat. Poor nigger hating me. Jigaboo, jigaboo, where are you? I'm here in the woodpile watching you. Jigaboo, jigaboo, come out now, so I'm scared of a white man way down south, you know. But I kill it, take your black kid out and I blow it. And the end of a lazy beat can't keep you away from a little old nigger hating me. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the blackest?
A man named King, it ain't no doubt, and he's causing lots of trouble with his baboon mouth.
He's a-doing, it's all by the trouble, he's a-booing, and the end of a lazy beat can't win if a white man stick with a nigger hating me. Hey, Mr. President, what do you say? When are we whites gonna have our day? The niggers had theirs such a long, long time. I'm a-whiting this time that I have mine, you know it.
Nigger hating me.
Do you expect that, has it got any heat at all? I know that, what was it, the Charlie Daniels?
Toby Keith also caught some heat from his 9/11 song. And how's the response been to your song there, Johnny?
Again, that's something for Brad. I haven't say screen all his mail for him. This not, it all comes to me at the site. But, no, we haven't had any negative response whatsoever. Nothing but positive all the way around.
Definitely without a doubt. And I can't say this enough. For those of you that are out there listening to the TurnUpSpeed.com radio show and you haven't had a chance to hear the single yet, we're going to air it here in a second. And indeed, it is by far the catchiest and most toe-tapping song out there, especially written on the 9/11 incident. And what I'm going to do now, we're going to do a little pause here, and I'm going to play the song for our listeners out there, okay? And this is the popular song, the Infidel Anthem.
We're gonna catch Osama bin Laden hanging by his yeah. We're gonna fuck bin Laden and make the little bastard pay. We're gonna kill Osama bin Laden hanging by his yeah. He can run, he can hide, we're gonna find him anyway. Meanwhile, in Afghanistan, he's being hidden by the Taliban. Well, Taliban, you gotta be nuts, cause America is gonna fuck you up. And meanwhile, under a rock, the motherfucker's in cold shock. Cause Uncle Sam's gonna fix his clock. So believe everything we've said. Osama bin Laden's gonna wake up dead. We're gonna catch Osama bin Laden hanging by his yeah. We're gonna fuck bin Laden and make the little bastard pay. We're gonna kill Osama bin Laden, hanging by the yeah. He can run, he can hide, we're gonna find him anyway. And meanwhile, where the camels roam, and the terrorists call their home, old bin Laden ain't saying shit, the little asshole is trying to split. And meanwhile, deep in a cave, his narrow ass he's trying to save. We're gonna make that cave his grave. He's gonna get all fucked up. The little son of a bitch don't know what's up. We're gonna catch Osama bin Laden hanging by his yeah. We're gonna fuck bin Laden and make the little bastard pay. We're gonna kill Osama bin Laden hanging by the yeah. He can run, he can hide, we're gonna find him anyway. Hey, bin Laden, you raghead fuck, your life is fixing to suck. You're gonna go down, Osama, and that's a fact. An ass-kicking is coming to you. You took your best shot, now you're through. This is America, boy, didn't you know that? And meanwhile, in the USA, our nation is stronger today, helping each other, working things out. This is America, there's no doubt. Meanwhile, back at the tent, I wonder where Osama went. He must have gotten the message we sent. Bin Laden, you snake in the grass. America's coming to kick your ass. We're gonna catch Osama bin Laden hanging by his yeah. We're gonna fuck bin Laden and make the little bastard pay. We're gonna kill Osama bin Laden hanging by the yeah. He can run, he can hide, we're gonna find him anyway. He can run, he can hide, we're gonna find him anyway.
Back in the
them all back to Africa. And one of them is, if I could be a nigger for a day. don't have to use that title, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if I can. I'll tell you a couple more. I've got them right here. I think we'll have one. I'm trying to work on one now called Nigger in Law.
You said your nigger suck, didn't you?
Nigger suck. That's another
thing. There you go.
Yeah. Family sing along.
So we've got about eight of them ready for it. I'll give you a couple of more, and then he's going to put the.
Ain't nothing but niggers. That's another one.
Ain't nothing but niggers. Yeah, that's another one. I told you that if I could be a nigger for a day, I don't know if I mentioned that one.
Cool. Well, hey, Johnny, I wanted to mention anyone that's familiar with your music knows that it's both very politically and very socially weighted. And what I wanted to ask you was, have you ever had any aspirations or made any attempts to do anything politically, or have you just used your music to voice your social and political opinions? Have you ever tried to run for mayor or anything like that?
No, I don't think I'd be a very good politician. So I just stick to writing songs and, you know, presenting my views through my songs.
Right, most definitely. And I was speaking with Brad a little bit ago, and what I want to do, I want to give you guys a chance to air this for our listeners. And I found it to be a very intriguing story, and I find that it would probably be best for Brad to take the ball and kind of roll with this one. The new album's going to be released on Agwood Records, which is owned by Brad, and I think it's a very interesting story on how the two of you actually came to collaborate together. And Brad, if you can kind of take the ball there and run with it a little bit and say how you met Johnny and how you guys came about.
Kind of a semi-long, convoluted story, but I'll give you the Reader's Digest version here real quick.
Sounds good.
Actually, believe it, I was just literally standing in my room one day looking at the records I had hung on my wall, and one of them was, of course, Johnny Rebel Caging KKK-45, and just got a wild hair and actually picked up the phone and called the post office in the little town that was listed as the address for the record label and asked if, of course, 30 years later, I knew the same people weren't written at the O-Box anymore, but I asked if they maybe had anybody still working there that would remember them. I said, there's a record label there back in the 60s, you got a Johnny Rebel recorded from, that would have been a big, a big hoo-ha about, the Attorney General coming to investigate him and all that stuff when that happened in the 60s, this and that, and the other. And I asked if anybody remembered all that, and believe it or not, they had a guy still working there today that remembered this stuff and got on the phone and told me, well, I don't know how to put you in touch with that man, but I can get you in touch with his relatives, which are actually the relatives, the guy that owned the record label JR recorded for back then, which he did, and I called them. And again, kind of ran into a bit of a brick wall as far as finding out anything about Johnny himself. They just basically told me, if you're interested in Johnny Rebel, then maybe you ought to hop in your car and come over here, came to find out later the reason for that was apparently had some negative interactions with other people in the past and trying to get, find it. Had a career mode, I don't know what, maybe a reporter, whatever reason people have been looking for in the past, were looking for him for the wrong reason. And they weren't real keen on giving out information on it, so I had to actually drive over there to find out. When I got there, it took me up to the second floor warehouse and actually had an entire wall of, just 30-plus-year-old Johnny Rebel records, all those old 45s, the LP, this and that and the other. So I went back to Texas, took out a little bank loan, went back, bought all those out, and after I bought them, I then asked him, is this guy still around? It was at that point, I didn't know anything more about him than anybody else does. I just heard the typical urban legend crap, the FBI killed him in the 70s for some first activities with the KKK and all this kind of crap. And they said, well, yeah, if you just go around, I said, well, if I maybe split him 100, you think he would come up here and autograph a few of these so I could, auction them off on eBay. And they, made a phone call and he came up and signed the records for me, asked me a couple questions off the website, which at that point was really just something to sell the records from. And, signed the records for me, wouldn't accept the money, and that was it, and left. And so I went on back to Texas, started selling the records. About a month later, with the money I made off selling the records, County Rebel. And he wrote me that, well, yeah, it is. And I said, well, you know, you don't have to buy him shirts. And I just, you know, I sent him a couple of shirts. And then after I sent him shirts, I just asked him, you know, would it be okay maybe if I did an interview with you? He's never given one before for the site. And he agreed to it. And that, of course, is the interview that you can go to the website at officialjohnnyrebel.com, where it says a radio text interview. The radio interview is an actual recording of the Chauncey Hayes interview, whereas the text interview is a typed-out transcript of the interview we did that day. And if you read on there during the course of it, I actually asked him at one point, would you ever consider doing this again?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if I ever thought there was a buck in it, yeah, I would. So it's at the end of the interview, needless to say, as we were walking out of the car, I said, you know, what do you think about the idea of me going back to Texas and drawing up a little contract, and maybe we swing into the studio in another year or so and try to kick out one more series of these things? And he thought it was a good idea.
Right.
Here we are today.
And there you go. And do you want to add something to that, then?
That sounds... How do you like working with Brad there, Johnny?
Oh, I like working with him, all right. We're several hundred miles apart, and we don't see each other too often, but it's a good working relationship. Every once in a while, we stay in contact with each other.
How is the second time around going for you, Johnny? Pretty good?
Yeah, pretty good. The songs, I think the songs I've got are pretty good songs. I didn't think I could write that many decent songs. Ain't too many things you can say about niggers except vicious, you know, you've got to keep repeating the same thing. So I'm trying to find something to say about niggers in different ways. The same thing about niggers in different ways. And I think it's turning out pretty good.
Johnny, I know that this is a compliment that you often receive, even by those who don't necessarily agree with your music. The one thing that they will admit is you write some damn catchy music. And some of the most, you know, catchy toe-tapping music that's ever been made. And now it's been, what, 30 years since the past Johnny Rebel release, right?
Yeah, it's probably about 32 years.
About 32 years? Okay. Now, obviously, musical trends have definitely changed a lot in the past 32 years.
Right.
Some for the better, you know, some for the better, and some, the well, not so good either. Probably more bad than good. What I wanted to ask you is, with this new album, is there a new musical trend at all that maybe you've picked up and kind of made your own over the past 32 years that maybe wasn't exhibited on the first Johnny Rebel recordings?
Well, there's a little change in it. You know, the way the songs are put together, the bridges and the choruses in it are more up-to-date than, you know, they were back then, you know.
All right.
I think these new things will, you know, they'll work out and sing back the same type of music. Now, I write mostly country stuff, and it's country stuff, most of this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll all come out, I think it'll be up to par with today's stuff. I think, you know, I've kept up with it quite a bit, you know.
Well, you're still kicking all the young guys' asses, that's for sure.
I don't know about that, but...
And also what I wanted to mention here is I just get a few responses from you here on some things. I promised Brad I'd be a good boy. I wouldn't ask any incriminating questions or anything, so I'm going to stick true to my word on that. And we didn't really have anything planned anyway along those lines. But, you know, since your songs are kind of political and definitely social, I wanted to just ask you a few questions. And, you know, if you want to tell me to fuck off and not answer, you're more than welcome to do that, too. Just a few questions here, and you let me know how you fall into the spectrum here. Johnny, are you a voter? Do you vote?
Yes.
Okay. Who did you vote for in the last presidential election?
George Bush.
Okay, and now here's a question that I wanted to, this is an interesting one here. Do you think that Bill Clinton should have been chastised the way he was by the media for the affair that he had with Monica Lewinsky?
Sure.
Right.
I agree totally with that. We're going to have a man in the White House. You know, I think he ought to keep his bedroom manners hid.
Exactly. Not really setting too good of a moral example.
Right. Yeah. I don't really care what he does in private, but when that private stuff becomes public, well, then it's not a very good image for our country, and not a very good role model for our young people.
Right. And now, do you honestly
we go, and I think that this is an interesting question here. Do you think that, do you feel honestly that the president, George W. Bush, that's in the office right now, do you feel that, you know, with the scandal about whether or not he actually deserved to be in office, whether or not he was actually voted in, or whether it was now, do you feel that, that the right man's in the office? Do you feel that he was definitely the one voted in?
Yes, I feel he's the right one in office. You know, our Constitution says you go by the electoral vote, and that's the way it goes, you know.
Right.
I even mentioned that in one of my songs, a song about Jesse Jackson, you know, Jesse showed up. I talk about the Chaz and Al Gore and George Bush in one of these things, you know.
Right.
No, I was perfectly satisfied with the way it turned out. Of course, you know, I was biased. I
sure.
George Bush to be the president.
Sure.
I still think he won in fair and square, and I believe everything that they checked after that, when they finally come down to the final analysis, he would have won anyway.
Right.
So, I don't know, I guess.
Okay, that's good enough for us. And what I want to ask you as well is, with what happened due to September 11th, do you expect to see, you know, the increase of hate crimes throughout the United States, especially towards the Arab people over the next few years? Do you expect to see that, Johnny?
Well, no, I didn't expect to see that. The United States is a little bit too civilized for that, you know.
Right.
We tend to sit back too much, and we're too laid back. I guess sometimes we ought to turn around and start kicking ass, and acting the way other people act. But we've gotten ourselves in a position now where, you know, we've let blacks intimidate us. You know, I'm going to go to blacks now. We've let them intimidate us for the last 35 years, or 37 years since the Civil Rights Bill has been passed. You know, we don't even say anything anymore. Everything's just falling into place for them, and we're laying back and not doing a goddamn thing about it.
Right.
But, it, you know, this is the way I feel about it.
Right.
Well, I have a question for John. I don't know if he knows, being on with the black man pushes us around a little bit. Actually, me and Johnny here have a friend. He's actually from South Carolina. And I was talking to him the other day, and his dad, who still lives in South Carolina, was a little fired up about how I guess the NAACP and the niggers out south are trying to get the rebel flag off the courthouse. What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm. My thoughts on that?
Yeah.
They ought to keep the damn flag where it belongs, where they had it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was awful proud of the people from Mississippi. You know, my wife's from Mississippi. I was proud of them people because they voted to keep the damn flag where it was. Okay? They didn't want to do away with the rebel flag. In fact, there were a big percentage of blacks in Mississippi who voted to keep the rebel flag. It's a part of history.
Right.
It's got a damn thing to do with slavery or anything else, you know, and it's part of the pride of the South, you know. And I was awful proud of Mississippi for that. Now, South Carolina, I wish they'd have just stuck to their guns and then put it before the people and see what happens, you know. I think the same results would have happened.
And
politicians let them did the deal themselves, you know. Anytime you let a bunch of politicians do something, they're gonna fuck it up, you know.
Well, by the same token, when you think about it, how hypocritical it is to even have blacks asking to have that flag taken down, because the justification they use for it, of course, is that it, for them at least, it represents violence and oppression and this and that and the other. I mean, sweet Jesus, boy, can you imagine if we say before apartheid? Before they did away with apartheid, they had tried to do away with the flag of any. And what country has had more civil unrest, more violence, more oppression than Africa?
Right.
Can you imagine somebody asking for any of the African nation flags to be done away with because they represent violence or whatever to whoever was victimized in that country? I mean, you know what I'm saying? More people have died as a result of civil unrest and violence in the various countries in Africa than ever died during the entire Civil War, slaves, et cetera, et cetera. And you don't hear anybody raising, you know, and these are the same people that are on that basis saying that this flag needs to come down because that's all it represents to them. Well, you know, that may be what it represents to them, but to a lot of other people, it represents a lot of other things,
right,
just as their flag does to them in their country.
Most definitely. That's exactly right, Brad. And yeah, that's what our buddy Jeff and his father were so upset about, and hopefully that will stay, you know. Hopefully they won't have it taken down from
team, and I'm sure that probably both of you would agree on this, that the white man does get stripped of his culture and his history more and more each day as we progress along in the 2000s. And do you both agree with that?
Yes, I agree with that totally. All of our culture and all of our beliefs, and I mean, we're not losing our beliefs, but we're getting them, they're getting put off to the side, and almost like we don't have rights anymore, you know?
Well, to the point where they've made it to the point where one thing after another, we're supposed to, almost everything that stands as any part of a symbol of white culture is something that we're made to feel ashamed about. You can't celebrate it. You can't even acknowledge it anymore.
Right.
To even acknowledge it makes you a racist now. It's just, you know, the whole, there's just such an incredible double standard in this country as far as white pride, black pride. You know what I'm saying? It's just a simple statement, black power, black pride, and you know, that's looked at as a positive thing, someone that's aware of their heritage and in touch with their cultural heritage, yada, yada,
right.
Yada. But if you make the same statement as a white man, you're immediately branded racist, subversive, low life, obviously a militia member,
right.
You know, it's gotten to the point where, quite frankly, in this country, if you're white and you're proud to be white, that's caused to be ashamed in this country, or supposed to be caused to be ashamed in this country. I don't understand that thought process.
Right. And one thing that bothers me, Johnny and Brad, is, and this really aggravates me, I can't stress this enough, is the fact that, okay, they want to have their equal rights, they want to be equal and be the same. However, things such as the black beauty pageant, or, you know, all black, you know, music award show, those are the kind of things that really kind of get under my skin in a way, just the fact that, with what you were saying, if we had an all-white beauty pageant, or if we had an all-white musical award show, and we only featured Johnny Rebel, and we only featured Alan Jackson, and we didn't, you know, you would be looked at as a racist.
Well, it's just like the other day, I was watching, you know, because I do work with Johnny Rebel, I guess I become hypersensitive to these kind of issues, maybe more so than other people. But the other day, I was watching a movie on HBO called The Brothers. I don't know if any one of y'all know all that. Show about, you know, four young, upwardly mobile black professionals, yada, yada, yada. And, these guys, and I, just throughout the course of the movie, I was just taking note of how many times they made comments that if they were reversed, would absolutely have gotten that film. I mean, chastised, barred, banned. I mean, consistently made comments throughout the movie of the black women. Talking about one of them wanted to date a white man, and I mean, they just, you know, all up in arms, and how dare you, and in the context of the movie, it was funny, and
mm-hmm.
People in the audience would have laughed at it. It wasn't, it wasn't presented, it wouldn't have been viewed as something ugly. It was funny, because it's black people doing it. Whereas if you reverse that situation, and a white person made the exact same reciprocal comment, that would have been a reason. That movie couldn't even have been shown in this country.
Right.
And that's the kind of double standard I'm talking about. And it's so ingrained in our society at this point. People accept without even questioning it anymore. I mean, the whole movie was just riddled with these kind of comments. As I watched, I just kept thinking, if you flip this comment around 180 degrees, this movie could not even be shown in this country. And that, to me, is just appalling double standard.
Right. Well, I'm sure you two probably would agree with me, though. Johnny probably agrees here. What I feel nowadays is they're not really looking for equality, they're not really looking for special treatment, you know, with things like the affirmative action, things like that. Do you agree with that at all?
I agree with that totally.
Yeah. They're actually trying to get...
They're looking for special treatment, mm-hmm. And they're getting it.
Yep. Like, I get tired of hearing, actually, is you hear, like, Jesse Jackson or what Louis Farrakhan on TV saying they were oppressed for 400 years.
Yeah.
How many of these blacks do they have were ever in slavery, and they went owed back for... They were never in slavery.
Well, that's the whole problem with affirmative action. It's a dated concept. There was a time, and it was called Reconstruction, when this was appropriate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When the slaves and the kids of the slaves and even the grandkids of the slaves, and I wouldn't even have raised a beef about a generation or two after mm-hmm. that, because there was still, you know, they had been denied education at that point for so long. They definitely were not on an even keel with us at that point, because we had denied them so many opportunities at that point, and it would have been justified at that time, and it would have been 500. I don't have this year's, but I happen to have a contract last year with the top, whatever, 10 wage earners in it, and the top, you know, yada, yada, yada. Four of the top 10 wage earners, four of the 10 richest people in this country, the biggest wage earners in 2001 are black. And they only represent 18% of this population, but four of the wealthiest people in America are free and black. Oprah Winfrey and, you know, whoever else is involved, you know, a couple basketball stars, this, that, and the other. You know, so obviously there is some opportunity out there for black people at this point. You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you this, they have a hell of a lot better chance of getting a college scholarship than I do.
Yeah. That's without a doubt, Brad. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I thought Devin was going to add something there. Now, I know we've kind of been hopping around. We only have a few questions to go before we let you guys get going. We appreciate you both of you taking the time. And you can feel both free to answer this question however you want. And it's kind of getting back to what Johnny was saying about kind of sitting back and being pushed around a little bit here in the States. And with everything that happened with 9/11, and the only reason I kind of bring this up is since Johnny just has released that new single, and we're going to be airing that again at the end of the interview here, and it's going to be in constant rotation on the radio show. Now, my fiance and I are kind of in disagreement on this and have some different opinions on the subject. Now, personally, my beliefs on this and trying to solve, you know, in what's happened and everything that's going on. I know, you know, the president's come under some fire on whether or not to do some attacks in the Middle East. And personally, my honest view of it is that we should just go in there and bomb out the entire Arab region and let it stand at that. You know, with probably at least 90% of the world's population wanting a particular nation, you know, more or less off the face of the earth, it would have to say that it's not the rest of the world, it's that particular, I mean, how do you guys feel on that? Do you feel that we should take action? And
I feel that they should bomb the whole damn, just exactly what you said, bomb the whole Arab region, wipe them out, and finish that once and for all. Well, but we've got a lot of politicians and do-gooders now that are not wanting us to go even take care of of Saddam Hussein, you know.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I don't know what's happening in this country. You know, 9 months ago, I think Bush might have waited a little too long. If he'd acted 9 months ago and jumped on my ass 9 months ago, everything would have been fine. But now they've sat around and thought about it for a while now, and we can't go to get a coalition. The United States doesn't need a coalition. Why should we have to go around asking every damn little country in this world?
We're the strongest nation on the earth.
Yes or not? Especially when we've been attacked.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, and the danger there is, and it's already happened if you've been following it, is, well, number one, just the Connell Sun said it's a video I agree about, and of course, even our military started to admit to this fact now and agree that they made a mistake. Now, it should have been taken out in the Desert Storm.
Exactly.
And everybody's conceding now that was a huge mistake to leave the power, and I agree with you. He needs to be gone. That needs to be taken care of. But as far as the deal and our little war on terrorism, if it keeps on the way it's going and it's been following it, it's already starting to become, if you watch it, another little Vietnam. We're half committed to it. We don't know who our friends are over there, who our enemies are. We keep making partnerships with people. They make fools of us. They take our money, our weapons, and then they take them and use them to kill our own people and disappear into the mountains. We don't end up catching anybody. And we're just being made a fool of again. And there's going to be, you know, once again, we're going to end up with whether it's 8,000 or 20,000 or 70,000 young American kids dead in a foreign country somewhere because we've half-assed committed to something again.
Right.
And put it around and dumped it. Basically, didn't learn a damn thing for history repeating itself. I think 30 years later, didn't learn a damn thing from the experience of Vietnam. So they half committed to something. We got our ass kicked.
Right, exactly. I agree. And my opinion on this is we got to take care of our own. If it means blowing up the Arab countries and whatnot to protect the United States, I feel 100% for it that it should be done. And another drastic view here, like I said, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I kind of am just stating some of my own opinions here personally. And, you know, I don't want to get out of heat. I know a lot of people are going to disagree with me on this, saying that it's too much along the lines of what Hitler wanted to do with the Jews in World War II. But in my opinion, all the Arabs, who's a terrorist, who's not a terrorist. Do you guys feel that anything should be done, that we should be doing some kind of, at least, I'm not saying kill them, I'm just saying maybe setting up some kind of camp till everything gets under control, maybe figuring out who's with us, who's against us. It seems like there's a lot of inside work going on here, terrorist-wise.
Well, what I think, Johnny, is anyone who is not a legal immigrant in this country ought to be sent back.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to mention.
Out of our country and don't let them come back here.
Right.
You know, we've gotten where we don't even look for them.
Right.
You know, our organization was this that natural. Well, I can't think of the name of that. Hey, I'm 6'4".
Nationalization immigration.
Yeah. They were turning their backs on these things. These people were coming on in. They let them on in, and even if these people come in and their card expires or their visa expires, and you don't even go looking for them. You know, I don't understand what the problem is. That's a no-brainer. Son of a bitch is here in this country, and he's not he's hiding out, and he's not a legal citizen of our country, and he was here for just he was supposed to be here for just a short while. And then now he's hiding out. They don't even want to look for the son of a bitch. I don't understand. You know, he's probably on welfare somewhere.
Yeah.
Of course, the lead of the 911 deal was that one of the terrorists was overstayed on his visa. I don't remember his name, but the one that flew the plane there in New York, he was overstayed on his visa.
Right.
I'm sure you two probably would agree with me. I think, like Johnny said, about protecting us here, the U.S. is possibly closing the borders around the U.S. Would you agree with that?
You know, it's something that, as a matter of fact, I just had someone bring up on the message board on the website that we just had a little discussion about on there, is immigration control. And you know, just like I said on the site, it's a real sticky deal to talk about taking people that are already naturalized citizens here and putting them in camps or doing this to them or doing that. But by the same token, I understand what you're saying. It's very hard to know who's who, who's with us, and who's not. But as far as what like Johnny was saying, as far as at least getting a much more stringent system of checks and balances and closing our borders from here on out, because at this point, you know, just like we were talking about on the site, I don't remember doing exactly what the projection is. I think by the year 2045, 2050, we're supposed to have, whites are supposed to be a minority in this country. And just like I raised, you know, the point that I raised on the site is there is not a single first world country on this planet that is not white in majority of it as far as population goes. And when the day comes in the U.S., in our country, at this point, our particular problem is Hispanic immigration, uncontrolled Hispanic immigration. When the point comes that this country has a larger proportion of blacks than Hispanics and whites, we're fast going to politically correct ourselves right into becoming a second or third world country in the United States if we don't watch it really carefully.
Right, that's definitely, I agree
with you too there, Brandon. Good point.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I know, you know, certain people always disagree, and they always say to me, well, you know, I mean, my nationality, I'm German and Irish, and I don't know, I think Devlin's German and something or other, Irish.
Irish and a little bit Hungarian.
Yeah, and they always say to me, well, you know, say something happened in the United States where the Germans were the cause to blame or the Irish were the cause to blame and they were shipping everyone back to their countries, would you go? And I said, hell yeah, I'd go. You know, if I had to be done, sure, I'd do it, you know. And, you know, I feel we need to eradicate this problem somehow. I just wanted to get your opinion on that, you know, so.
Well, but at the expense of sounding terribly bigoted and just to make a brass tack statement, the fact is, when you get down to it, it never is the white people doing it, though, is it?
Yes,
it's a pejorative question that's not ever going to come, that's not ever going to be a truism, because in this country, every time we have a fucking problem, it's someone else.
Right, you're absolutely right on that. And I want to give you both the opportunity to just add any closing comments here to our listeners out there. And, you know, if there's any tentative release date for the new album or if anything at all, you just feel free to go ahead and, you know, give a mention there.
Yeah. Well,
going here. I'm sure you got a lot to do. Just a point that just kind of came to mind I wanted to ask you is trying to figure out what we should do with some of the problems. And I think it was a real slap in the face with, was his name John Walker, the American trader that was actually working for the Taliban?
Right.
Now, there's a lot of debate on what actually should be done with him. And I was just wondering if you and Brad would like to comment on your opinions there on how we should handle that situation with what's happened.
Well, there's no doubt he was over there fighting against Americans.
Mm-hmm.
He left this country. He went over there. That's where he wanted to be. Get his nose involved and be a Muslim or whatever he wanted to do. He was fighting against American people. Son of a bitch ought to be shot.
I agree with you there, Johnny.
You know, when it's something that big, sorry, just doesn't quite do it. You know, I saw on the TV the other day, he had apologized, and like, that's supposed to be sufficient. I mean, at this point, when you've done something like what he's done, and, you know, he either needs to stay over there and live out his life there, but you come back here, and you accept the fact he's going to be treated as a traitor. You know, the same as a spy. You know, and what he did was, I mean, you can't shoot American kids and expect to come back and say you're sorry and everything's cool.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree. I don't know that there's any punishment that's too hard for him.
Well, what I want to do, Devlin, if you have anything else out there, what I want to do is just thank Johnny and Brad for being on our show. It's been a real pleasure. We're looking forward to the fact that maybe we could meet up sometime in the future, and it's definitely been a pleasure.
Well, it's been a pleasure on this end.
And,
thanks for having us all.
Sure. Best of luck to you both.
Wish you the best.